and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 121, the Getting Back on the Quilting Pony episode. I am quilting Sweep Exit, which is my kind of improv quilt that doesn't necessarily look that improv, but it does. I don't think anyone would look at that and go, wow, she really spent a lot of time planning out that quilt. But yeah, I finally, after kind of resisting quilting it, or finishing up the quilt job, just because, you know, it's like I wasn't quite sure what to do. And sometimes the way you figure out what to do is you just start doing it. Or in this case, I talked to a friend and said, what should I be doing? And we kind of hashed it out together. And I think I know. The quilting on this quilt, as I may have mentioned before, is it's different. It's a little out there, but I kind of like it. And I'm going to go with it because, you know what, if it really fails, I'll make another quilt. I've got lots of fabric. I can make another one. So I'm back on the pony. I'm almost done. I am working on my Melon Patch quilt, which is a quilt that is going to correspond with Stars Upon Stars, the sequel to Birds in the Air, which I have about, I think, 4 more chapters. And I'm hoping this, I'm revising, but as I'm revising, I change a lot when I revise. I change sometimes. I make very significant and deep changes to draft by draft, and this has been the case with Stars Upon Stars. But I'm getting there, and I have approximately 10 days to get as far as I'm going, because then I have to get back to contracted work, which is the next Sam the Man book. I'm very happy to tell you that Sam the Man and the Rutabaga Plan was an honor book for the Griffin Award, which is a new award. Last year was the first time they gave it out, from the Center for the Bulletin for the Center of Children's Books. These are for early reader, early chapter books that encourage newly independent readers to read. And so that was really a nice thing. And the third Sam the Man book is coming out next month. And then the fourth one has been written, and now I got to write number 5. And that is, the first draft is due March 1st. These are very short books. And so I actually really can probably drum up a draft in a month. And I'll have to revise. But I have until, I've given myself to February 1st to see how far I can get. Hopefully finish this revision of Stars Upon Stars. Anyway, making quilts to correspond with the quilts in the book. And that will include, I think I talk about this in the Quilt Diaries, doing a double wedding ring. We'll see about that, especially after I got an email from my mom yesterday saying, do you want to do, and I'm not going to say her name right, but you know who I mean, Aditya Sitar, is that right? I'm going to see if I can find my mom's email. My mom cracks me up. She's like, let's do this. I'm like, okay. But anyway, it is a quilt along a block a month kind of thing. Now, my mom and I have to say, we did a sampler quilt many years ago. I think maybe my mom finished it. I got pretty far, but that is definitely a UFO that's hanging around here someplace, Lord knows where. And it would actually be kind of fun to get back to it, except for that heartbreaking moment when I realized I don't have enough fabric, of the fabric I need, and it's been so many years that fabric cannot be found. But anyway, yeah, I get an email from my mom going, let's do this. I'm like, okay, because that's a nice thing to be able to do with my mom, and I'm looking forward to it. Anyway, it's a lot of quilting coming up, and I talk a lot about my current quilt projects in the Quilt Diaries, of which I believe there are 3. I do want to say thanks to everyone who commented on episode 220, and to remind you that if you leave a comment, either for episode 2, well, wherever, to be honest, but on this episode or the prior episode, by January 31st, you will be eligible to win one of two copies of Margaret Goes Modern, my new story collection that has just come out. So please leave a comment, because you know I love to hear from you. That's the only reason I write books, so I can do giveaways, so you guys will leave comments. So leave me a comment, and yeah, I'd love for you to read Margaret. I like Margaret. Yeah, there is a real Margaret, and she's kind of cranky, so I relate to her quite a bit. All right, you know what? Let's get on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It's Saturday, January 13th, 2018. This January has been weird in that in some ways it feels like it should already be February. Time is moving so quickly. And in other ways, it feels like it should be like January 4th. Some of that, I think, is due to the fact that we had what I will laughingly call a winter storm last week. You know, this is the South. It's North Carolina. You get 2 inches of snow, and it's a little panicky. Now, you know, one thing that my northern friends and Midwestern friends may not understand is one of the things that happens here in the South is there are a couple things going on. One is we don't have the infrastructure. We don't have plows. We've got some salt. Some salt gets dropped on the roads before a big storm. But it's not like when I lived in Massachusetts and it snowed, and the second the flakes stopped, the plows were out and the roads were cleared. That doesn't happen here. The other thing is that you might get a snow in the morning, and then things warm up just enough in the afternoon for things to melt, for snow to melt, and then overnight it freezes. And, you know, it's more than just an inch and a half, just 2 inches of snow. It becomes sheets of ice on the road. So just saying, there is that. But we do tend to panic over much. But anyway, it was like giving the year a do-over, like a let's restart this year, because I think Will had one day of school on the 3rd, and then the storm, quote-unquote storm, came in, and then he didn't have school the next day, and then the next day, which was a Friday, school started at 10, and it just felt weird. So anyway, So I don't know what to make of this January. I am having a good January so far, and that I'm getting a lot of work done, including, yes, some sewing, some quilting. I just finished the block that I committed to doing for the Triangle Modern Quilt Guild for a charity quilt that we're doing. I'm not sure what we're doing it for, to be honest. I can't remember. There are a couple things coming up. But whatever it is, I did it. And I've taken a picture, and if I think of it, I will put the picture up on the show notes. It's a very cute block. My friend Patty had a big hand in designing it, and she did a great job. I had the choice of either paper piecing or just regular piecing this block. And actually, at first, I kind of assumed that it had to be paper pieced, and I am not great with directions. I really am not. I think it's, I don't know if it's a left brain, right brain thing, or just that I am in some ways not that bright thing. Because in other, some ways I am perfectly bright, very much a B+ kind of gal, but in other things I'm just kind of dumb. So I'm reading these directions that in retrospect were very good directions, except that I'm reading them and going, these are really weird paper piecing directions. Well, they weren't actually paper piecing directions. They were just regular piecing directions. And but the kit that came, that the good women of the guild put together, that included the fabric and the paper piecing actual paper with the pattern printed on it, I can't remember where I was going with that sentence. Just lost it. Let's just say directions were good. I was confused. It took me a little while to finally realize, oh, we got two options here. And the paper piecing is obviously the smarter option in a lot of ways, possibly the more accurate option. But because I also have fabric that came with this little block kit, and the fabric is limited, and if I mess up, I don't have replacement fabric. And I was a little worried about that with the paper piecing. It's been a little while. I can't think of the last time I paper pieced. Obviously, did some serious paper piecing last year for Bauhaus Birds in the Air, particularly when I redid it before sending it to QuiltCon. And can I say, even though I am disappointed that neither of my quilts got into QuiltCon, and I possibly am more disappointed than I'm actually admitting to you or myself, which is quite possible because I am someone who can live in a lot of denial for a long time, I am so happy right now not to be worrying about that. You know, because I suspect that the due date could be right about now. I can't remember, but it's kind of... I feel I could look in my journal, but I feel like last year, right around this time, I was panicking and feeling scared and like, why did I do this to myself? And I have had a few moments this past week going, ah, I'm not worried about that at all because I didn't get in. It's not so... that is the plus side of having being a QuiltCon reject. You don't actually have to send your quilt to the show. So that's been kind of nice. Anyway, the block. And I finished a block. It's a very cute block. It's a very... Now I'm looking at it and I realize my contribution will not be the most perfect. In fact, I can't believe I'm admitting this because I know a couple people from my guild listen to this, including Patty. The designer, but yeah, it's not quite, it's supposed to be a 12 and a half inch block. Mine's not quite 12 and a half inch square, yeah, all the way around. Yeah, sorry about that, Patty. And I'm looking and seeing, it's imperfect. I'm imperfect. I accept that about myself. I hope that can be accepted about my block. Fortunately, the eye does us so many favors. I just realized this after putting the block together. I'm seeing, some problems, but my eye has just noticed this because the eye tends to correct. Yay for eyes. I like, eyes. I think we can all be happy about the hard work our eyes do. Now I'm standing in front of my design board, my design wall, which has behind it a big design sheet, and on that is Stars Upon Stars, the yet-to-be-quilted or even sandwiched quilt that I want to get to very soon. And in front of it, right on the board, is both Sweep Exit, which so that I think will be my next thing, is unquilting what the quilting I'm not happy with. The more I've lived with it, and now I've really lived with it a long time, it's really just one section that I'm not happy about of the quadrant. But it's still, I'm unhappy with it, and therefore will be fixing it. So that may be the next thing. But over to the left are my stars from my Twilter friends. If you're new to the podcast, the Twilters is a Facebook group that is mostly comprised of people who listen to quilting podcasts, although there are fewer and fewer of those podcasts. I think if you're thinking to yourself, you know, I'd kind of like to do a quilting podcast, I think I speak for many people by saying, I wish you would. But then what we're talking about is a homemade, homey, cozy kind of podcast. Obviously, we have some fabulous, more professional podcasts, but this is obviously very homemade. Anyway, the Twilters is a group. If you're interested in joining the Twilters, it's a very nice group. Let me know. But the there was a block exchange last year, 2017, Twilters, you'll be happy to know I did not sign up for 2018 because I'm about 4 months behind. But I have a number of stars for the month that I was queen, and they are darling. And I have a lot of them. I am like such a horrible, horrible human being. That is also on my list of things to do to finish my last four blocks. Thank goodness I don't have to make a block for myself. And then I also have, if I turn over here and look at my cluttered, but less cluttered now that I have more drawers in my life with a new desk, an old but new to me desk, which I just am totally still digging on. This is my mother-in-law's roll top desk that I have inherited, and I have drawers now, and I have set it up. I should take a picture so you can see it. I'm so in love with it that I sit on the couch in the front room and supposedly I'm writing my journal or reading, and really I am just staring at my desk. Oh my goodness. I will take a picture. And then there is also this sideboard that has many, many drawers, which, and I, and yeah. And also cabinets, a couple cabinets, if that makes sense. Maybe I'll take a picture of that too. You should see all of this. I love it so much. I'm so happy. But that means that my drop leaf table over here in the dining room section of this front part of the house, this is a drop leaf table from my parents' house that my brothers and I used to eat on. It used to be in our family room back when we were really little kids. And when my dad would come home from the Pentagon late and would not, I think, didn't really want to hang out with little kids. And you know what? Totally sympathetic to that vibe. But so my mom would have us sit at this table and eat our corn, our chipped corned beef on cream chipped beef on toast. And we had Disney World placemats. They were plastic, and I really enjoyed poking my fork into the plastic placemat because it was just a layer of plastic. It was like laminated Disney World. Yeah. So anyway, I just have a memory of that. But anyway, so that this is that table, and it is a bit less cluttered because I am moving things into drawers, but I still need to do more work over on this space. It's still a bit of a mess. But the main attraction for me right now is a pack from Fat Quarter Shop, which is where I shop when I don't shop local, but I try to shop local. And it's black and cheddar fabric for my melon patch quilt, which I will make one day. I am getting focused on the Stars Upon Stars quilts that I need to make for the new novel, which I, by the way, I'm making good progress on. My big hope is to have a revision done by the end of this month. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. So my hope was to have Stars Upon Stars out in April, but it may be this summer. I'm going to Atlanta in late July, and by then it will definitely be out. But anyway, but I need to make the quilts. And so I have the Stars Upon Stars quilt. I think I need to do a Lone Star. And in the novel, Emma Bird makes contributes blocks to a more ornate and elaborate traditional Stars Upon Stars quilt. And also a double wedding ring, because somebody's getting married. And so I'm thinking I should make a double wedding ring quilt, which I've always wanted to do anyway. So I got a lot of quilts to make. I just saw today that there's the Riley Blake Quilt Challenge is happening yet again. I don't think I'm going to do it. I had so much fun doing it last year, but I don't have that kind of time that sort of design work takes for me, because I am slow. It takes me a while to figure out what it is I want to do. So I don't think I'm going to do it. I think this is not going to be a big year for me for contests and quilt submissions, although I'm sure I will submit stuff to QuiltCon in November. That's kind of fun. And I do agree with my girl Krista Watson that, you know, submitting to shows, one of the reasons for submitting to shows is to have goals, you know, to work on quilts, to work on new designs, to work on your skills, so that you have a quilt that you really want to have a shot at a show. So I do like that idea very much. I hear the man coming downstairs. So hold on. Yes, we are having an exciting Saturday night here at the Dow Abode. Jack is still home because Davidson College has the longest winter break that I know of, other than when I was in grad school at UMass Amherst. And I feel like we got most of the winter off so that they wouldn't have to heat the buildings. I really feel like we did not go back till late January. I could be wrong about that, but I think that's right. Anyway, so Jack is still here. He'll go back to school Monday, but he is out tonight. Will is spending the night with friends, so it's me, the man, and Travis, the quilt dog, and I think we're going to watch a movie here in a second. I'm going to do some knitting. I am now knitting socks for my editor. I'm on my second round, just because the first sock I got really two-thirds of the way through, I'm like, wow, this is humongous. And it's sock thread, beautiful. I mean, sock thread, sock yarn, you can tell. I've really converted almost entirely to quilting, if I'm just calling yarn thread. Sock yarn, sock weight. I can't remember the brand, but I've used it before. Very nice stuff that I bought at this very cute little new craft shop that I'm trying to support. And it's close by, and they do sell fabric, so that's exciting. It's called Freeman's Creative. If you're local to the Triangle area here in North Carolina, it's over by Scrap Exchange. Anyway, bought some sock yarn there. Was surprised using my usual size 2 needles and my usual pattern that I've been using for years and years and years, and realizing these are humongous. So I have gone down to size 1 needle, and they're now the right size, and they're going to take forever. But so I think I'm going to watch a movie and chat with the man as we enjoy a little child-free but not dog-free time. So I hope you're having a good Saturday. I will be back soon to chat with you a little bit more later. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Friday, January 19th. There's snow outside. We had a big snow. It started very early Wednesday morning, and it just kept going. And we here in my part of Durham got about 10 inches, which is a lot of snow. A lot of snow. And I have not left my house now for 3 days, and probably won't leave it today, even though the snow is melting, it's warming up. It's supposed to be 60 on Sunday, and that is the beauty of winter in North Carolina, and snow in North Carolina tends to go away pretty quickly. And this was a beautiful snow. It was gorgeous. But we didn't lose power, and that makes me feel more magnanimous toward the snow. So far, we've been fortunate over the years. I don't think we have lost power for more than 24 hours in this house. Now, way back in the day, there was a big ice storm, the big ice storm of 2002 when Will was 6 weeks old, and we lost power for 5 or 6 days. That was tough. We ended up bedding down in a little office we had. And our part of our subdivision was like the last part to get power back. It was rough. We had a tree fall on our roof, the whole thing. So this has been fine. I'm okay. Still a little traumatized by 2002, but I'm okay. Anywho, things to tell you. I have gotten Sweep Exit off my wall, unquilted the upper right-hand quadrant, and think I know what I'm going to do to requilt. The quilting on this is pretty funky. It's a little weird. You know, it's a lot of black in this quilt. The background is black, and I have chosen to quilt it with black, red, and white thread, and it's a little weird, but I like it. I feel like the quilting energizes the quilt, but I could also see how someone would just look at it and go, wow, she is nuts. And I like skating on that line. I'm not quite sure where I'll end up, but I have to trust my gut, which is sometimes wrong. But if I'm happy, then I'm happy. Hooray! Anyway, but it's taken me a little while to get to that point where I just decide, okay, it's time to do this. It's time to do this. I have other things to do. I will say I have made 5 melon patch blocks. I have the Moda cheddar fabric, Moda Bella solid cheddar. That actually is kind of cool to say, all those D sounds in there. Moda Bella solid cheddar and the L's. So I'm just going to keep saying that through the whole episode. Moda solid Bella cheddar. That's not right. Anyway, I'll stop. I'm sorry. And then black. Here, lesson learned. Do you know there's a lot black? We say black, and we think we know what we're talking about color-wise, and we're wrong. So when I ordered the Moda Bella Solid Cheddar, I decided, I'm gonna order the Moda Bella Solid Black. You know, same line. I like the Bella Solids. I think they're really nice. They have, what is it called? Like a nap? I don't know. Whatever the feel. It has there's a nice feel to the fabric. And I used to use a lot of it. I kind of got, I've kind of switched over to American made brand. But I've used a lot of Moda Solids. Well, I got it And you know, in you know, I ordered it from Fat Quarter Shop because that's where I got found the cheddar, and it was black. But I had some black, a little bit of black already. That was a much sharper black, much sharper. And do you know, there's a lot of black that I think really verges on being a super dark navy blue. This black, the Bella, Moda Bella Solid Black, actually, it's got some blue, it seems to me. And also, but it, you know, if you said, okay, imagine charcoal gray, like the darkest gray you have, and then go a couple degrees darker, that's how this black reads. So it definitely reads as black, right? But then when I put it next to the black I've been using, which I'm praying is American-made black, because I just ordered 2 yards of it, the American-made black is just this sharp, sharp black. It's black, black. It's there. No, there's no blue in there. There's no purple in there. There's no charcoal, and it's a. It's and when and there was just no doubt in my mind when I put the very little, maybe half a yard of that black I had next to the cheddar. It was just such a much sharper contrast, and that was the black I have to use. And so I went ahead and ordered the 2 yards of it. And that, but now I'm praying and fingers crossed that in fact it is the American made brand black that is the sharp, sharp black. Because, you know, going through all my stuff, I'm like, you know, I've got to have more black around here. And I pulled out some black yardage and, you know, and I'm like, is this the American made? Because, you know, I'm like, I don't know. But I pulled out black yardage that might be navy blue yardage. But then I'm like, what if I use navy blue for? I have thought about using navy blue for something, and I'm not convinced this is navy blue. It's also confusing. Whites are that way too. And I have, oh, my Irish chain quilt that I made a few years ago, which is not a great quilt, but it's a red and white quilt. But you know, it's really a red and white and very lightly off-white quilt, which I didn't realize till I took it outside to take a picture of it. And the I don't, you know, would you? I don't know that you would notice. You wouldn't notice it just walking by that they had two whites in it, but it does. So that's just, you know, I don't know. I don't know why this surprises me because I have been doing some knitting lately, and you know that with yarn, the color can shift from lot to lot. It can be the same maker, the same dye, but just there can be minute shifts that you. That show up. So anyway, because of the snow, I don't know when I'm going to get my Fat Quarter Shop order. It's been shipped. I think it got shipped yesterday, and you know they do priority mail, and it tends to come very quickly. But we haven't seen the mailman in several days since Tuesday. So I don't know if that means our mail is going to trickle in over next week or if we're just going to get a huge bunch like Santa Claus is coming to town today. He won't be coming to town with my fabric that I'm really hoping is the right black. But I'm hoping that it won't get backed up. Well, in some ways, to be honest, it would be good if it did because I want to quilt Sweet Bexit. I want to finish it and I need to finish it. It's very close to being finished, and you know how it goes with unfinished objects. Sometimes you can just they'll just stay unfinished, and you say, "I'm going to get around to that. I'm going to get around to that," and then you don't because bright, shiny ideas, you know, dance in your head, and you think, "Well, I'll get back to that in just a second." So no, I want to take this opportunity, even though, and I will put a picture of the melon patch blocks on the show notes. If you follow me on Instagram, you've seen them. I'm so in love with them that I've already posted two pictures, and it's just a handful of blocks. But I'm like, look, look, look! There was two, now there's five. yes, but you see them. But I'll put a picture up. You know, just orange and black. It's classic. It's a classic combo, and this is very cool. And it's based on a quilt made in the early 1900s. And I think that's very cool too. So I'm working on Stars Upon Stars. This is the sequel to Birds in the Air. And I'm having a lot of fun with it. I'm doing the revision. And I hope I will have done fairly soon, or be close to done by February 1st. Because February 1st I have to switch to another project that's due March 1st. But as with Birds in the Air, I'm planning quilts to go along with the book. And so, in fact, I have this melon patch quilt in the book. If you've read Birds in the Air, if you're familiar with the name Lillian McKinney, who at the end of Birds in the Air, we find out, died under mysterious circumstances. This is a quilt that she made, and that was documented in the North Carolina Quilt Documentation Project. Fictionally speaking, but although that quilt does exist in the NC Quilts book anyway, but I've given it to Lillian. But I also in this book have a kind of postmodern quilter who's doing a gallery show in Sweet Anne's Gap, and I put Sid in. I gave that to him. That's his quilt that he made. So that, say, if I do trunk shows around Stars Upon Stars, I already have a quilt made for it. But I've also another quilt that has popped up its head, popped up in this draft is a double wedding ring quilt, which is, but you know what? I've always wanted to make one. So we'll see if that happens or not. I would like to, but so obviously my list of quilts to be made is lengthening by the day, although fortunately sit-in already made, yay. I want to finish quilting Sweep Exit, and I want to quilt the Stars Upon Stars quilt as well. Now, here's what I need you to do. The next time I start talking about making a quilt, or make a quilt, or when I start talking about quilting melon patch, right? You know what your job is? To say, get dark batting, right? Because as I'm looking at Sweep Exit, which has, as I said, a black background, guess what? I've quilted a lot of it. The fiber from the regular old off-white batting that I've used is pulling up. And I've already done one quilt way back in the day, a couple years ago, that had a lot of navy blue. Maybe that's where it's from. I'm looking at it now. Question, mystery solved. That's where all my navy blue came from. Okay, good. But yes, where I also use just regular, typical off-white batting, and the fiber came up. And so, and that's happening too with Sweep Exit. So for melon patch, when I get close to that quilting day, say, Francis, don't use a, you know, I don't know if it has to be wool, but whatever kind of batting that is dark, use a dark batting for this so that when the fibers pull up, they're not noticeable. Thank you very much for doing that. So in other quilting news, had a Modern Quilt Guild meeting. Oh, I don't think I've told you this. I am now vice president of the Triangle Modern Quilt Guild. My friend Michelle asked me if I would do it. She is the regional representative for the Modern Quilt Guild. So I guess I don't know if she's the whole, how far her region is, if it's the whole Southeast or more like Virginia, South Carolina, North Carolina. I don't know, but it's big. And she Facebook messaged me and said, you know, and asked if I was interested. And, you know, I decided why not. You know, I think it's good for people to take turns. Our president, Jen, is remaining president. I'm not sure. I hope it's because she wanted to. It may be because no one else volunteered, but she has done a good job and is funny and runs a good meeting. So that's good. So I'm going to be vice president. And then my friend Patty is secretary. So hopefully it's going to be fun. It'll be a way for me to be more involved, which is, you know, that's showing up. Showing up is the thing. And yes, I'm excited. And there was no vote. Well, I mean, I think there was a showing of hands. And believe me, no one was saying, no, I would prefer to be vice president. But anyway, so we had a great meeting, our first meeting of 2018. My girls Amy and Emma from the Quilt Alliance came and did a presentation and actually did a couple Go Tell It docs. Go Tell It. You might, if you've been to a big quilt show, you may have seen Amy and Emma there. Essentially for a Go Tell It, I'm going to call it a documentary. These are 3-minute videos. So for a Go Tell It video, you talk about your quilt, a quilt you've made, and tell the story about what behind that quilt for 3 minutes. And you don't even have to speak the whole 3 minutes, could just be 2 minutes. But it's a way of documenting the quilts that people are making, quilts that are meaningful to them. And I have done one. I did one at QuiltCon last year. QuiltCon's coming up. I'm very excited. Even though I can't go to Pasadena, I'm still excited. It's so fun to see the quilts, to see what wins, to see what's in there, to see what people are doing. Anyway, so I've done one. And so at the meeting, several people did Go Tell It videos. And you know what was funny? What happens all the time with these things, and I'll put the Quilt Alliance link in my show notes. What happens so often is people will say, well, I don't have that much to say. And then they start talking, and it turns out they have amazing stories about their quilts. And there were people who had amazing, the people who told their stories on last Sunday had great stories. So I really, you know, I loved quilt documentation, and I love the Quilt Alliance, and I encourage you to become a member and to go to the website and to do a Go Tell It video, which you can do at home. You can download the instructions. Anyway, my girls, Emma and Amy, were at the meeting. They did a fantastic job. And then pretty much all we had time for was that and then show and tell. And there were some really amazing quilts, as always. There was a new woman, Michelle, who is an art. Her quilts really seemed to, she showed two quilts, and they really straddled that line between art and modern. And yeah, they were amazing. Gorgeous quilts. I'm just always amazed by what people do. So yeah, it was a good meeting. And I have been going steadily enough for, I feel like, 2 years now. Well, I do feel every time I go, I know people. I sometimes even remember people's names. On my list of things to do, I've got to make a name badge. I just do. Because one thing, if you make one, then you get to sign up for they put you in a drawing, and the stuff you win is really good. That was another thing about the meeting. Okay, somebody, I don't know if it was a collection of people or just one person, brought a ton of fabric for just to, you know, to donate, what would you call it, just to give away. And the first time I went around, you know, there were some cute little pieces that I picked up that, you know, I'm not sure what I will do with them, but just seemed fun and kind of seemed in my colorway. And there were some solids that I grabbed, just little, you know, just quarter yards, not a ton. But there were some bigger pieces, but that were not particularly modern. And some actually, it looked like somebody may have gone through a kind of a Civil War quilt period in their life and was divesting themselves of that fabric. And then something was said, or maybe it was during, you know what, I think it was during show and tell, and I was looking at quilt bags. I'm like, wait a minute, there's some serious yardage over on that table. I mean, I picked up this fabric. It's kind of a blender, kind of a light brown blender fabric, but there must be 10 yards of it. And of course, it was just sitting there because this is a modern quilt. It's like the least modern fabric you'd ever seen. I'm like, but I don't care for a back. And so I went back right at the very end as things were winding down. And sure enough, I mean, I probably picked up 20 yards of fabric. I mean, big lengths of fabric. I'm like, I'm so excited because that's, to me, that's where so much of the expense of quilting comes in, is backing fabric. I mean, and that's part of the reason. I mean, I love how a pieced back looks, right? So, but it's a pieced back, it can be really time consuming. You know, like, I love the back of Sweep Exit. It's super cool. And it did not, and that it may have taken as long as it took to put the top together. You know, it's all improvised and it's funky and it's cool and I love it. But sometimes you just want to make the damn quilt. Excuse my French. You know, but you just want to, you just do. And even if, you know, you can do a piece back out of three big pieces and it's still cool looking and it doesn't take you 3 days to do it. So I am very, very excited and thankful to whoever brought all that fabric, because it may be years before I have to buy fabric to back a quilt. So that was exciting to me. So that was really fun. I don't know. I know people have different feelings about guilds. I know people have had bad experiences with guilds, and I don't discount those experiences. But if you have not gone to your local quilt guild, gone to a meeting to check it out, you might give it a try. It's taken me a long time now to really get into it. I mean, and my first modern quilt guild meeting was probably close to the time I started quilting. I mean, it may have been like 2010. It may have been close to the time I started podcasting. And the problem was at that time that the meetings were at 5 on Sundays, which just totally did not work at all with my schedule. And now they're 3 to 5, which is much better. So that was a big reason that I wasn't going. But it really took me a long time before I started really getting into it. So I may even go, not this month, but next month, to the Durham Orange Quilt Guild. I may try that again. I just might. And it's a bigger guild. It's a much bigger guild than the Triangle Modern Quilt Guild. So I don't feel like I've really connected with anyone there. There is a little bit of crossover between the two guilds, but I might give that another try. I think the last time I tried, I feel like I went at some point last year, like maybe April or May, and what was it? It was something about paying dues, like paying the dues. And it's silly because the dues weren't that much. They were $30. But whether you joined in January or joined in August, you still had to pay the $30. And you had to renew your membership the following January. And again, I'm a little cheap, so I was like, but I may try it again this year. I'll let you know. I'll keep you updated. And I guess I'll chat one more time before I post this. I feel like I need to post it in the next few days, but I'll check for comments and say a real goodbye. But for now, I'll say goodbye for now. Quilt Diary Day 3. I'll try to finish this up here. It is Monday, January 22nd. I'm in an interesting place in my life. I have 999 followers on Instagram. And yes, I have just texted my son in college to ask him to follow me. I think it would be so cool if Jack were my 1,000th follower. I really do. I think that would be great. I have another Instagram account, Fran from NC, and I just post pictures. It's not quilty at all, just goofy. And he follows me over there, and I follow him. He doesn't post very much. I wish he would. He's very photogenic. One thing, but also it's nice to follow him and see what he's up to with his friends. But I just think that would just crack me up so much I cannot even tell you. So fingers crossed that he'll be a good son. He may, you know, the man assures me that kids these days, they treat texts kind of like emails, and so they don't feel a need to respond immediately. What I have to do with Jack, if I text him and don't hear from him, I start sending him really weird emoji texts, and usually just takes 3 of those and he texts back. So anyway, I want to tell you, first of all, thank you for everyone who has commented on the last episode, and a lot of people commented because they're interested in Margaret Goes Modern, and I am going to give away 2 copies. So Be sure to comment on this episode by January 31st, and you will be in running for the big win. But I was looking over comments. I got one from Charlotte, who is the Slightly Mad Quilt Lady, whose podcast you may have listened to, and she told me that yes, that I pronounce SAQUA, which is the Studio Art Quilters Association. That's how they say it. They say SAQUA, right, Charlotte? I'm getting that right again. And Charlotte is an amazing quilter. I'm trying to remember. I think I could look it up. I'm going to look it up, but I think she's on Instagram as the Slightly Mad Quilt Lady. Let's see, the slightly obsessive. Wow, there's a lot of slightly stuff. The slightly obsessive alcoholic. Okay, that is not Charlotte. Hold on. Okay, she is on Instagram as Mad Quilt Lately. Mad Quilt Lady. I'm sorry, we're having some problems here. I worked out today on the ellipticals for 30 minutes. It's 8:31. I'm about ready for bed. Charlotte is on Instagram as Mad Quilt Lady. She is in New Zealand, and she is a really amazing artist, and I highly recommend that you follow her in any event. So she commented, and this is back on episode 219. I thought this was interesting. She said, "You talk about the crossover between modern quilts and art quilts and say that lots of the art quilts appearing in the journals, these are the SAQUA journals, which, by the way, you can access back issues online at the SAQUA site, and I highly recommend, if you just like looking at pictures of gorgeous quilts, go. Anyway, so I said that lots of the art quilts appearing in the journals could be modern quilts. I say vice versa. The modern quilts appearing at QuiltCon, etc., could well fit into the SAQUA exhibitions under the genre of abstract. Of course, there is the wall versus functional comment to make there, as you have also pondered recently." In any event, and she also ordered a copy of Debbie Co. That was my first book for kids for her daughter. So yay, Charlotte, in every single way. But I thought that was interesting. Again, I have pondered it. I don't need to ponder it again, I guess. But I do, it's just, I don't know. We have all these different categories for quilts. And as I'm working on this melon patch quilt, you know, and it's so modern looking. But the quilt that I am copying is from like 1912. I'm not entirely sure about that. It could be 1920. But it's very early 20th century, and it's so cool. And here's what I need to tell you. Is that I got my Fat Quarter Shop order. I love Fat Quarter Shop. If you don't have a local quilt shop to support, I just think Fat Quarter Shop does great work. Anyway, and I'm happy to report that the American-made brand black is the sharp black I was looking for. So I have that now. I have to say that I have gotten back in the saddle, back on the pony, with the Sweep Exit quilting, and have discussed with a friend. We've gone over some ideas, and I think I know what I'm doing, sort of, kind of. And it's so tempting. I'm just so much want to go back to the melon patch and make more blocks, but I'm not that far from finishing this quilting for Sweep Exit, so I need to stay on that pony. Don't get off the pony, Francis. Okay, I won't. But I am. I was a little worried. Like, what if this is not the sharp black that I want? But it is. It is. So I have washed it. I'm washing it because, you know, I don't do a lot of pre-washing except with reds, blacks, really dark. You know, like a navy blue, I would pre-wash, and batiks. A lesson I learned the hard way, if you'll recall. If you've been listening for a while, this beautiful quilt, I do say so myself, it was beautiful because of the batiks. Is it over here on my, I have some of my, yes, here it is. The man has taken some pictures over the years of my quilts, and I have four of the pictures that he's printed out. And these are quilts I made for other people. And so this quilt that I made for my sister-in-law in Atlanta, and I think it was one of those, what is her name? I'm sorry. I like her. She's the scrap basket quilt person, and her name is Kimberly something. Someone is yelling it out at me right now. Thank you. I wish I could hear you. Anyway, I used, it's really pretty. It's a really pretty quilt, but I did use some really dark blue batiks, and they did bleed. My sister-in-law claims to have not have noticed. If you looked at this picture on my wall, which I'm doing right now, you wouldn't see it, but it did. So I learned my lesson with batiks the very hard way. Oh man, it's a pretty quilt though. Yeah, it's not my pattern. It's not, I didn't design it. So I just followed instructions and got a really nice quilt. But I'm looking here. This is the wall that you're not, I don't know. I'm not good at describing spatial. I'm not even, yes, I'm so bad at describing spaces that I can't even think of the phrase I'm looking for. But this is my old sewing area, the drop leaf table, the wall to my right, which now has pictures just because I am a teenager and I just tape pictures onto my wall. I am thinking about hanging sit-in here, even though you wouldn't be able to see the full quilt, but it's such a big quilt. There's no other place to really hang it. And I want to look at it. I want it in my life. I really like that quote. And I want it in my life. So I've thought about hanging it here just so I can see it all the time. Yeah, yeah. But I hope you have quilts you feel that way about, quilts that you've made and kept. And just enjoy looking at. Yeah. Anyway, so I think we're up to date. For some, I just felt like I wanted to mention Charlotte's comment because I liked it. Because I liked being affirmed that I was saying Sakwa right, because I'm interested in that, you know, I mean, you know, obviously in some ways we don't need categories, in other ways we do, and, but yeah, with the chicken and the egg question, and man, I probably mentioned this in the episode that Charlotte's responding to, which is 219, but I have this beautiful, glorious. I'm going to walk. I'm walking. I'm going to try not to walk on Travis, who's just laying in the middle of the floor, just to be close to me. It's very nice that anyone feels that way anymore. Okay, The Art of the Quilt, which is, I think, Robert Shaw, right? Well, it doesn't. Yeah, it's got to be Robert Shaw. He does these books. Anyway, it's a huge book. It's like a book that's the size of a desktop. And that's the book that, you know, I looked at. I got it. I was so guilty. I think I got it for like $10 off of eBay or Amazon. And it's humongous. But yes, I mean, you look at it. You look at these quilts and they look modern. But they're not. Or they are. Who knows? Who can say? It doesn't matter. I guess when you're entering quilt shows, it does. Anyway, so thank you to everyone who's commented. I've gotten lots and lots of comments, so I'm not going to go over every last one. I will say that I'm equally delighted by comments from people whose names are not familiar to me, who say, oh, I've been listening to you for a long, long time. But just, you know, have a comment in my head. I hear you. I hear you. I really do. As well as when I hear from people that I've been hearing from for a long, long time who feel like really old friends. And that's a delight as well. So I'm glad we're all here together. I'm going to finish up now. And, you know, who knows what I'll have done the next time I talk to you. I hope I will have Sweep Exit done. I can't remember now. My only problem is, like, I think my plan was to do the border, the binding, I'm sorry, to do a red binding. And my friend Patty explained to me, she's like an engineer, so she can figure these things out. I don't know if she's an engineer. Maybe she is. She's a math person. Let's put it that way. How to do a binding where I can, you know, there's 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm looking at Sweep Exit right now. There are 4 areas where the ray of white goes out all the way to the side, and I want to bind. I want the binding there to be white. I didn't know that I wanted that until Patty told me that I could make that happen. And she showed me how. We're having tea on Thursday. I may have to ask her again and also ask her what I said last time we talked about it, what the binding would be. But I think this is, needs to be a red binding. And I may have even made a red binding. And now I need to go look for it. But yeah, I might have it done. I am not that far from having it quilted. And that's exciting. And I like this quilt. And I'm excited to get on with the next quilts as well. So I hope you are excited about the quilting that you're doing. And if you haven't been able to get back on your quilting pony, I hope, you know, make that jump. It's just a pony. It's not as big as a horse. You can do it. Just get your little steps to get on the pony and get quilting. And I will talk to you again next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.